Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up hope. I've got words of encouragement today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. I want to get into some really important, essential teaching with you today from the scriptures. I'm not taking any calls. I'm not interacting with breaking news. I simply want to encourage your hearts with biblical truth today because we're living in a really crazy time. We're living in a time that can be so frustrating. Nancy and I were talking the other night about posts on Facebook and things like that. And the fact is, we don't like untruth. We don't like misinformation. Or everybody can have opinions. But when someone states something that's blatantly false, we both want to correct it because we love the truth and we hate error. We don't want people to believe lies and for other people to then believe those lies. And I mean, that's the least of it, though. You see things being said on TV or you hear them on radio, read them, and they're so wrong. And you think, oh, I want to say something. I want to do something. And you look at people in the eye, you try to reason with them, and it's like they're not there. And then you look to others you think would be people of courage and faith, and sometimes they're anything but, and you want to pull your hair out. I understand that. Trust me, I understand it. Many of the things I write out of great burden, not out of frustration. I said, Lord, give me a voice. Give me something to say it. And by his grace, I've got this great platform with our radio show and then with our articles and then with our TV broadcast and then with social media and then with preaching and teaching. I have a lot of outlet for the burden that I carry. And still, that is not enough through which I can preserve hope and faith, and sanity. And for many who have much less of an outlet, it can be all the more frustrating. So I want to talk to you today, not so much about particular issues, not so much about the culture wars, not so much about political battles, not so much about what's happening internationally, but in the context of the crazy world in which we live, in the context of the confused world in which we live, in the context of the compromised church in the midst of which we live, in the context of America teeter-tottering on the edge of destruction or perhaps simply ceasing to be the nation that it's been up to now, and I mean that in the worst sense of the world word in terms of which way it's going. Living in the midst of this, how do we maintain faith, hope, courage, or put less spiritually, how do we not lose our minds? Or how do we not just go into total retreat? Like, forget this. It's going to go out. I'm not a fisherman. I'm just going to go fishing. And that's it. I'm going to retire and go fishing. Or forget this. I'm just going into the mountains with my family. We're survivalist types, and we're just pray and read the word together and wait for the destruction to come. How do we avoid those types of polarities? Or just, I need medication, man, to keep my sanity. How do we avoid that through biblical principles? That's what I want to talk to you about today. I'm sure you recognize the relevance of these issues. Now, by all means, check out my latest articles. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Check out my latest videos. All of our radio shows are archived. So if there's a subject you're looking into, you want to study a particular thing, be it radical Islam, be it transgender activism, be it heterosexual divorce, be it whatever the case may be, type in what you're looking for on the website, askdrbrown.org. You'll find a wealth of free resources waiting for you, and then other resources you can download, digital resources, you can buy books, and be blessed. We're here to help you, to equip you, to strengthen you. Friends, in Jesus, we are overcomers. So I'm going to lay out some principles for you today. I trust they'll edify. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, where do we start today? To build your faith, to encourage you, Michael Brown here, not taking any calls today, not interacting with breaking news, focusing on scripture, focusing on Jesus, and how we are to keep our sanity in the midst of a crazy, crazy world. Let me start here, and there's any order I could go in, but let me start here. I'm reading a book called Renaissance, fabulous book by Oz Guinness, just amazed at his spiritual insight, penetration, understanding of history. And he mentions something several times in the book, our golden age is still ahead. In other words, although we want to recover many of the things in which the early church walked, the power of the Spirit and the zeal for the lost and the willingness to sacrifice for a dying world, we want to recover many of the things that the early church walked in. We recognize that the early church was far from perfect. Jesus is our perfect model. He's the one that we set up as the standard and that we seek to emulate and whose commands and words and example we follow by God's grace and with his help. But when we look to a golden age, you can't look back in church history, nor can you look to any time in world history. Oh, this society, oh, this civilization, oh, this generation, this was the golden age. Our golden age is still to come. Our age where Jesus rules and reigns over an earth in which the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. An earth in which no one does violence to the other anymore, where the swords are beaten into plowshares, and where the nations say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's learn from the God of Israel. Let's walk in his ways. That golden age is still future. Or if you want to think of the eternal golden age, where there's no need for light or lamp because the Lord himself is the light of the new Jerusalem. That is still to come, the new heavens and the new earth where all pain and suffering are removed. That is still to come. In this world, Jesus said, there will be tribulation. In this world, there will be tribulation. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 John 5 tell us that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, 1 John 5, 19. And when we recognize that, when we recognize that from the fall of Adam to the beginning of the human race until the end of this age, there's going to be darkness, there's going to be sin, there's going to be unrighteousness, there's going to be moral depravity, there's going to be terrible human suffering brought on by other human beings until Jesus comes. And for us as God's people, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be difficulty. Then we realize it's not as if, how can I say this, that you have this perfect, beautiful canvas that you've been painting on for decades, your masterpiece, and now someone comes in with a bucket of black paint and just throws it on your masterpiece and destroys it. No, no. The masterpiece is Jesus. The masterpiece is not earthly society. So while I'm terribly grieved, as you know, over many of the goals of radical LGBT activism, while I'm grieved over the push to make transgender into the new black after trying to make gay into the new black, while I'm grieved over the redefinition of marriage, while I'm grieved over the federal government, the Obama administration's aggressive push to bully even whole states like North Carolina, while these things grieve me, this is not a personal battle with me against the gays or me against the transgenders or the Christians against the world. We have to win. This is not a personal battle. And there is we will only see change come to a certain point in this world. Here, let me give you perspective. Now, this doesn't lessen my burden. This doesn't lessen my burden. It just puts it in perspective. Let's think of 30 years ago, before the real advances of gay activism in our society. oh, the seeds were there and they're activists that were active. Yeah, but let's go back to the early stages, the beginning. 4 years. Let's go back 40 years, okay? And Stonewall Riots, 1969. So you have the beginnings of this, and of course, decades before that with other individual activists and some organizations. But let's go back to America 40 years ago. Was this some pristine, beautiful, perfect country? Oh, more innocent in certain ways, but already ravaged by the counterculture revolution of the 60s. And we already had all kinds of sin in our midst. Well, let's go back before that. Let's go back 60, 70 years. Oh, there's no question America was a far more innocent country. I mean, just contrast Leave It to Beaver and Lassie with today's TV shows. Or contrast the lyrics in pop music with the lyrics in the latest hip-hop rap song. And this is for some decades now. Or just look at the divorce rate then and teen suicide then compared to now. Or just look at the availability of pornography then compared to now. Or look at the rarity of abortion then compared to now. Or the general breakdown of the family then compared to now. But I'm quite sure that Christians living at that time in the 40s and in the 50s were grieved over the worldliness of America, were grieved over the sin of America. Well, in other words, yes, we should be grieved. And yes, we should take action. And yes, say when it comes to Target, yeah, boycott Target. That's action to take because of their offensive war on gender and privacy. Yeah, by all means, act out your conscience, but understand that the greatest victory that we'll see is the return of Jesus. And the greatest victory we'll see is souls turning from death to life and being born again. And some degree of moral sanity returning, and some degree of common sense returning, and some degree of innocence returning. But we're not going to see the whole thing in this world. And more importantly, it's not our personal battle. Look, it's very easy to get involved as if this is your victory. You know, man, we worked so hard for this vote in our state, it went the other way. All right, it's disappointing personally, but it's more disappointing if you're convinced that that vote was a bad thing. It's more concerning, not that our side lost. Let's just say Hillary Clinton is elected president and is even more pro-abortion, pro-gay activist than President Obama, and pushes even further for the overriding of religious freedoms and freedoms of speech and conscience because of the activism in her radical left liberal agenda. And let's say that she's a worse friend of Israel than President Obama. Those would all be very bad things. And to the extent that I'm here, you're here on the front lines dealing with them, we'll be grieving and we'll be praying and we'll be suffering the consequences of her policies. But If I was voting for Donald Trump and he lost, and obviously I'd endorsed Ted Cruz and he's out of the race now, it's not a personal thing. And in other words, the issue, if a Hillary Clinton was elected and did evil to America and hurt America, that's not my side lost. We lost. No, no. And it's not she won. It's a matter of, oh, this is bad for our nation. This is bad for our nation. But look at it like this. You've got a patient that will never be in perfect health until the resurrection. That's America. That's the world. The patient will never be in perfect health until the resurrection. So I know until the resurrection, we're going to be dealing with problems. That's part of what we do. And I don't want to see certain things happen. And I will sound the alarm about them, maybe not for the short term, but for the long term, because I know where this is ultimately going. I know the destruction that will ultimately come. I can see in advance where this is heading. Seeking to be a son of Issachar, understanding the times and knowing what Israel should do based on 1 Chronicles 12:32. But I also know that marriage can be redefined to include polygamy and to include other forms of marriage, and it'll be bad and it'll hurt our nation. but Jesus will still be Lord and the gospel will still advance. I don't want it to happen for many, many reasons, just as I didn't want to see the courts redefine marriage last year for many, many reasons. But we're still here. See, don't have this mentality that if one thing goes wrong or one thing fails or Bruce Jenner is the woman of the year, that that's the end of the world. No, it's a messed up world. It's been a messed up world since Adam and Eve sinned. It's been messed up. And we're here not to fix everything, but to make a difference. If we're trying to fix everything, it's not going to happen until Jesus comes. But we can make a real difference every single day. That encourages me.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are bringing you words of encouragement today, not dealing with breaking news, not taking your phone calls, but bringing you words of encouragement, how to maintain, how to retain your spiritual sanity, your moral clarity, your hope, your confidence in the midst of such a messed up world and society. And if you look internationally with the continuing rise of radical Islam in certain parts of the world and the threats and instability that that brings, we can go on and on with the list of concerns. And who knows what's going to happen with the elections, and who knows what's going to happen with the future of Europe, and on and on. These things can be unsettling, but in Jesus, not in some artificial way, not in some superficial way, but in Jesus, in a very, very real way, we can find a place of confidence and a place of security and a place of faith. I've said this many times, but it is never trite or redundant. God is still sitting on the throne as King. Jesus is still Lord. There are many things that happen that displease the Lord. There are many things that happen that he says that was not my will or my desire. And even if you're a Calvinist, you agree that there are many things that go contrary to his revealed will. A Calvinist would say he has his secret will. I wouldn't put it like that. I would say that in the midst of human disobedience and sin, God is still carrying out his purposes. So in that sense, we have a similar perspective. But don't act as if God is not God. Don't act as if Jesus is not Lord. Don't act as if the devil controls everything and God is retired or disinterested or discouraged and taking a break. No, sometimes that's the way we act. That's the way we act. What we need to do is go back to worshiping him. Listen, this is not an escape from reality. This is an entrance into true reality. What we see around us is real, but it is temporal. What we see around us is real, but it is often deceiving. As we know, appearances can be deceiving. What we see around us is often skin deep in that it's here today and gone tomorrow. I've written and noted this a couple of times, that a famous quote, that the day would come when men would name their dogs Nero and their sons Paul. It's an important perspective to have, because when Paul was beheaded, Paul, the prisoner, beheaded. I mean, is there a more helpless place to be? You are a prisoner. You are in chains. You don't have freedom. And now you kneel down with your hands presumably tied behind your back, and you're beheaded, and the mighty Nero can behead 10,000 people like you if he wants to every single day, and he is the emperor of Rome, and whatever he wants is at his fingertips. No, Nero was the slave. Nero was the one who was bound. Paul was the one who was free. He was the Lord's prisoner. He made choices because of which people put him in bondage, but he was absolutely free. And he knew while on earth, he's going to be fruitful and he's going to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And if you kill him, he's going to go and be with Jesus, which, as he said in Philippians 1, is far, far better. He was free. So yes, the days have come when men and women name their dogs Nero. Oh, let's call him Nero. It's a silly little dog. Yeah, we had Boomer, and then we got rid of Boomer. He got old. We had to put him to sleep. Let's call him Nero. Come on, Nero. Fetch that ball. Come on, Nero. Come on. Good boy, Nero. Sit down. You want a biscuit, Nero? Sit down. Come on. Sit down. Give me your paw. Oh, yeah. Good dog. Nero. Our sons, we call Paul. That's the name that's honored. And people read Paul's words today. Think of it as part of God's word. His words have been translated, his letters translated into more languages, read by more people than any letters ever written by any human being anywhere in the world. Think of it. And people listen to God through Paul's words. What we need to do is have a long-term perspective, a God perspective. John Bunyan, imprisoned. I mean, we can't imagine the prison cells that these men were in, the rancid conditions of the prisons. And Nancy and I in Italy about 30 years ago, we had a day to go around Rome, some other places, and we went to this prison cell. And it's underground, and I'll tell you, I had to really stoop down just to get down there. And they said, yeah, we believe Paul was in prison here. I mean, a real rat hole. Yikes. And then one of my friends with me, a missionary in Italy for many years, he said, actually, every prison in Rome, they believe Paul was there. There's a tradition about, but I mean, the guy was in prison. And yet, what he wrote in prison, we read today. I think of it. And John Bunyan put in prison for his views against the church establishment, and in that sense being a troublemaker because he didn't go with the status quo. And what happens to John Bunyan? What he writes in prison becomes, outside of the Bible and until the rise of the Quran, the most translated book in world history, Pilgrim's Progress. He writes other things from prison that have set captives free for centuries. Friends, we need a divine perspective on everything. It's not a matter of who wins and who loses. It's not a matter of how our side is doing at a given moment. It's a matter of our connection with God and our relationship with God and our divine perspective. So we need to step back. We need to step back and meet with the Lord. Some months ago, in one of my night classes, I was talking about revival, and one of the students said, well, Dr. Brown, you've been in revival. You're in the Brownsville revival. You've been in other moves of the Spirit. What was it like? And I began to tell stories, and our hearts were all moved. And we went to pray, and we ended up praying for a couple of hours. We prayed well past class time, probably an hour and a half past class time. We just kept praying, and people crying out to God. And I felt the Lord say to me, pray more, write less. Pray more, write less. And many a night I'll have, oh, I've got 3, 4, 5 things in my heart I want to write, I want to address, plus finish this book. And I just go to the Lord. I go to the Lord and I pray. I go to the Lord and seek him. When I seek him, when I get his perspective, then my perspective changes. My attitude changes. My outlook changes. And then I feel, okay, write this. And it's targeted. And by God's grace, it's going to bring life and not death. Friends, let me encourage you to check out this week's special resource offer. I think it'll tie in wonderfully with what I'm talking about because it opens up God's true grace to you. And when you get my books, Hyper Grace and God's True Grace CD, will give you for free my brand new book, The Grace Controversy. So 3 great grace resources we've put together just in the last few years. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Check out the resource offer right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is one of those special broadcasts. No calls, no updates on breaking news and commentary on what's happening in society. Just teaching, encouragement, instruction from Scripture. Why? Because we need it. Because it's frustrating to be alive today. Because it can be discouraging to be alive today. Because there's so much wrong that's happening. You can just about want to throw in the towel or pull out your hair or scream. But there are better alternatives. And Philippians, the fourth chapter, tells us this. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Messiah Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And then verse 8, whatever is true and noble and pure, Paul lists these things. Think on those things. Think on those things. Have you ever been really burdened, weighed down, sickness in the family, financial crisis, trouble on the job, church split, friends reject you, deep disappointment, death of a loved one? I mean, sometimes two or three of these things hitting at the same time feels like more than a human being can bear. Maybe it's less than that, but you're 16, 17 years old and just got a lot on your mind. What about the future? What about college? What about friends and confusion? What's happening in your own body and what you desire and what pleases God? And these things can be rough seasons, difficult seasons, midlife crisis for someone else, stress and depression after birth of a child. There are going to be so many things that affect us, impact us. Have you ever been in the midst of one of these situations where it just feels like life is too much? That's why people commit suicide. It's one reason people commit suicide. It's just like the waves are going over your head. They're just going over your head. It's just too much. You ever had it that you get alone with God and you just pour your heart out to him and you tell him, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. Rent is due tomorrow. If we don't pay it, we can't be late again. We're going to be out. We're going to be evicted. And my wife's sick and she can't go to work. And with this new healthcare thing, we're having a problem getting the medicine for our baby. And we're praying for healing and healing hasn't come. And my sister is going through a painful divorce now and she's calling for help. And I don't feel like I can help anybody. And you're in the midst of it. I mean, wouldn't it be wild if I just described your exact life right there in detail? That would be the Lord saying, I care about you. And you pour out your heart to God, and you tell him everything that's bothering you and everything that's concerning you. And you get up maybe a half hour later, and there's peace. You praise God for his goodness. You remind him of the times he's come through in the past. And you get up, and there's peace. But hang on. Outwardly, nothing changed. Outwardly, the rent is still due and you don't have it. Outwardly, your sister's still getting a divorce. Outwardly, the baby's still sick. Your wife is still sick. Outwardly, you still don't have money for the medication and God hasn't healed the child. Outwardly, everything else is the same and yet you have peace because you've put things in God's hands and God will act and God will help. And even if it gets worse before it gets better, he'll be with you through that. You'll come out closer to him and godlier on the other side if you learn from the experiences well. And on top of that, you will have answers to prayer to testify to. I can't tell you how many times that's happened with me. And maybe I need guidance, wisdom, and I'll come out and tell Nancy I've been praying. I don't have any guidance, any wisdom, but I'm at peace. I know everything is going to be all right. It's not a cop-out because we've seen God come through over and over again. That's what we have to look at, what's happening in the world all around us. Go to God with your burdens.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you, not taking calls today, not interacting with the latest news, but keeping my focus and our focus today on King Jesus, on the truth of the word, on our gracious God and Father, bringing words of encouragement. In short, how to keep our sanity, how to keep hope and courage, how to not lose our minds and want to throw in the towel when things are so frustrating and even maddening around us. Listen, no matter what we're going through right now, there have been far, far, far worse times for the church in history. I mean, to say that is a massive understatement. As much as there's definitely an assault on our religious freedoms and liberties, as much as we should stand up, as much as we should speak up, as much as these should be issues and concerns for us, absolutely, without doubt, let's put things in perspective. Can you compare what we're going through in the church in America today with what's happening in Syria and Iraq to Christians there, or in parts of Nigeria to Christians there? No. There is no valid comparison between the two in terms of reality. We are not being beheaded. We are not having our families rounded up. I heard of Christians in India where this happened. Get the pastor, round up his family. This happened in the state of Orissa. Pour gasoline over his wife and children and say, deny Jesus or we burn them to death in front of you. No, but there's nothing that we're experiencing that can compare to these types of atrocities. The slaughter of over a million Christians in Sudan, the exiling of hundreds of thousands of people fleeing for their lives in the Middle East from radical Islam. And yet, Jesus is there with those people. And yet, he says that everything we need is found in him and that we are more than conquerors through him. Romans 8, that not even death, not demons can separate us from God's love. And 1 John 5 tells us, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory by which you overcome the world, even our faith. The early church suffered severe persecution at times. There were waves of intense persecution. And in the New Testament, martyrs are mentioned. Stephen is mentioned. Antipas is mentioned. These martyrs are mentioned by name, and yet Jesus says to these churches, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the loss, here's a word for you, overcomers. Here's a word, whoever overcomes will inherit this and this and this. Whoever overcomes. So if there are promises for overcomers in the midst of hellish slaughter, if there are promises for overcomers in the midst of terrible family loss, if there are promises for overcomers in the midst of the loss of earthly goods, Hebrews 10 even talking about how the believers, the Jewish believers earlier on had suffered the loss of their goods and rejoiced because they had better heavenly treasures at that difficult season of testing in their lives. If there's overcoming grace to all of them, there is overcoming grace to us. So I want to encourage you not to have the mentality of defeat, not to have the mentality of discouragement, and not to have the mentality of hopelessness, but have the mentality of being an overcomer in Jesus. And that the stumbling blocks become stepping stones, and the things that are meant to destroy us make us stronger. Let me share some of you lighthearted for a minute, all right? My trainer, Scott Neri, is a gifted evangelist, soul winner, anointed by the Lord. In fact, check out his book, Power Evangelism. I wrote the foreword for it. If you love the things of the Spirit, if you love the gifts and power of the Spirit for today and want to know how this works in evangelism, get his little book, Power Evangelism. You'll be blessed as you do. It's an ebook. You can get it on Amazon.com. But anyway, I didn't mean to plug his book, but I'm very happy to. So we joke about how during workouts you can see what a person's made of mentally. Because plenty of people are not in good shape and they'll join us for workout. Oh, they're in decent shape, but not at the level that we're going to work out. And then, of course, you put me in with athletes and I'm not going to be in their shape, obviously. But you learn a lot about the mental attitude, the mental toughness of the person. There are some people, they're laughing. They can't move. They can't do another push-up. They're laying on their face. They're like, all right, I'm gonna keep trying. Or about, man, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I got to go to the bathroom. But they come up and they keep going. They're always like, I can't do it. And when we say, hey, well, just take your time. Of course you can. Just take your time. No pressure. Just take your time. Well, the other day, he was having me do these series of painful, it's always cardio with, you know, some muscle stuff mixed together. And I'm doing this particular exercise, and I've got these weights in each hand. They weren't much. Let's just say it was 15 pounds in each hand. And I've had them up on my shoulders. I've had them straight ahead of me. I've had them all these different angles, but I'm not allowed to put them down. That's the whole thing. Straight ahead, then up, then over the head, then out this way, then out that way. So over a period of time, even weights that aren't heavy, they start to get heavier. They start to get heavier. And at a certain point, he then said, okay, I want them over your head to do this. And I said, I don't think I can. What happened was I thought I needed a break for a minute. And I was just going to put the weights down for a minute and then resume with the next exercise. And what I meant was, because every so often you have to. I mean, it's only so far you can push yourself. And that was my mentality. Well, because he didn't give me that break, I said the words that I never, ever say while working out. And it was like, I can't. I don't think I can. And he said, what? He said, we're going to drive that out of you today, man. And we laughed about it, but he was going to push harder and harder and harder and make sure that mindset was not there. And I said to him one day, you know, the workouts that are the roughest ones for me are the ones where before the workout, I don't think I'm going to be able to handle today's workout, man. Because sometimes, you know, he knows how to push to the limit. He's trained and he understands what he's doing. He knows how to look at you and make sure you're okay and what you're doing. Those are the workouts. Like, you know, maybe get up in the morning and maybe it's mid-morning because I go to sleep really late and do a few things and I'm going to have a workout. So I'm still, you know, just kind of waking up and I'm thinking, oh, man, a workout. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish. Like, that's the defeat right there. That's the defeat right there. When the attitude is, this is going to be a blast. And whatever comes my way, I'll be able to do it. And I get as far as I can. And I'll be the better for it tomorrow. I'll be the better for it later today. I'll be invigorated by it. That's how we have to look at everything around us. Isn't Romans 8:28 true? That in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Isn't that true? That if you love the Lord, and you're seeking to honor him and do his will, whatever comes your way, whatever your experience, God can turn it around for good. And through the pain, through the difficulty, through the challenge, you know, it's the spiritual equivalent of no pain, no gain. It's the spiritual equivalent of pain is weakness leaving my body. You know, athletes tell themselves and people working out tell themselves these little things to push them. But isn't that spiritually true? Isn't it true that as you love the Lord and circumstances come your way that you can't do anything about? Isn't it true that God uses that as you lean on him to produce deeper prayer life? Isn't it true that he uses that to produce deeper character? Isn't it true that he uses that to produce perseverance? Look, friends, it's a messed up world. Yes, it's been messed up since the beginning of time. And yet in it, God is working for our growth. In it, God is working for our spiritual likeness to the character of Jesus. One man had a dream one time, and in the dream, he was standing before the throne of God to give account. Now, he had never married, and he traveled the world preaching the gospel, and he was standing before the Lord in this dream to give account. And he was about to say, Lord, you know how I've sacrificed for you. You know how I've gone around the world for you. You know how I've never married to be devoted to you. And as he's about to say those words and all the great things he's done for God, he hears the Lord say to him, the Father say, come a little closer. I want to see how much you look like my son. And he woke up in a cold sweat. Friends, God's working to make you more and more like Jesus. Perhaps he hasn't answered supernaturally with deliverance yet, but in the midst of this, you can grow. The hard times are often the best times for growth. The hard times are often the best times for character development. The hard times are often the best times for growth and faith. The hard times are often what equip us for great service in difficult situations in the future and enable us to withstand the temptations and enable us to say no to the pride and the ambition, because stuff gets burned out of us. So things are messed up, yes, but God's at work. Is God at work in your life or not? Press into him and go before him. And out of that confidence, watch what he'll do. And watch how, in the midst of hell on earth, he's making you more and more like Jesus, which also means more and more fruit-bearing, more and more lives touched, more and more positive impact. I hope this is making sense to you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me give you one last key today as I give some practical thoughts of how to have faith, how to have confidence, how to have hope in a world that's going crazy around us. I want to remind you not to make this into a personal battle. Here, in the presidential elections, I had to deal with this firsthand because for the first time in my life, I endorsed a political candidate. I endorsed Senator Ted Cruz, and I really wanted to see him win and thought he'd be the best man for the job. At no point, though, did I know that God was going to do that, or did I even pray God make him the president. I prayed for God's will, God's best, and I did what I could to be a help to his campaign. But at a certain point, I was able to get my emotions out. Because this is not a battle between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump or Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton or Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. It wasn't my battle. I just wanted God to be glorified in the midst of what was happening and God to bring about what was best for America. So maybe you're standing up for righteousness in your school and the school board adopts a crazy bill, a bill that to you seems like moral suicide or moral confusion. Yeah, it's painful. But it wasn't you versus them. You were doing this in obedience to the Lord. So it stings because you believe you were standing on the side of right and you pray for the school. But even with that, it's not the end of the world. The gospel is still needed. People still need Jesus and you still need to stand. It's just a matter of degrees. What we want to do is push the dial or whatever you want to call it, the arrow in the right direction as best as we can, as good stewards while we're here in this world. And then hopefully with that, the next generation can push it more in the right direction. And then this can be conducive to missions. This can be conducive, if we live in America, to America being a blessing to the nations. This can be conducive to disciples growing. And there are always positive things by pushing the needle. I've called it a dial, an arrow, and a needle. We'll leave it with needle. Pushing a needle in the right direction as much as we can, but even if it's in the wrong direction and it's a dark, dark day on the planet, you live in Europe and it's World War II or something like that, Jesus is still at work. The purposes of God are still being accomplished in the midst of the pain and the darkness, and his comfort, his hope, and his encouragement remain. And many a time I've gone to the Lord, because here's what happens. He gives you a burden. You take the burden from the Lord, but then somewhere along the line, it becomes your burden. You've been there, done that. You understand what I'm saying? It's a burden from the Lord, but now it becomes your burden. And I'll go back to the Lord, whether it's social issues, cultural issues, a book I've written. Lord, it's not my idea. Lord, I didn't come up with this idea. This was not my plan. All right? I'm going to stand against this. I'm going to be a culture warrior. No. I'm seeking to please the Lord. If the Lord says to me, lay down everything with culture wars and give all your time and energy to Jewish ministry, that becomes my passion. If the Lord said to me, get off radio and spend all your time going to the nations preaching, that becomes my passion. If the Lord said to me, you need to run for political office, no, that's not happening, and I don't foresee that happening, nor do I believe it's my calling at all. But if he said that to me, then that would become my passion. You follow what I'm saying? Doing the will of God is my passion. Not fighting the culture wars, not being in a certain aspect of ministry, but honoring the Lord and seeking to please him. That's my passion. So let it be the same with you, that you're on assignment. And our assignment is to obey the Lord. So we may fail in seeing the success of our assignment in this world, but the Lord may say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You follow? We might not see our vision realized. For example, a whole generation fighting for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, many have died. Many have gone to be with the Lord. I'm talking about those that were standing against Roe v. Wade and standing for life. And to many, the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, but it didn't change. But you honored the Lord. Young lady, older lady now, you're on the front lines. You were praying. You were fasting. You were weeping. You were encouraging adoption. You were taking the people into your home. Well done, good and faithful servant. So that's what you want. You want the Lord's affirmation on your life. What you need to do is find out what God has for you. There's a little saying, a little poem, find out what God would have you do and do that little well for what is great and what is small, because only God can tell. You be obedient to what he's given you to do. And if it turns out the way you're hoping, wonderful. But if you've obeyed him, you can rejoice and know that his smile is on you. And maybe what you thought was the last lap was actually the second lap. Maybe you thought it was a two-lap race and it was a four-lap race. Maybe you thought it was a four-by-four race, but it's a four-by-eight race. Maybe it's longer than you realized. Here, the relay race analogy I think works well. In a relay race, let's say it's a 4x100, the fastest, most dynamic of the races of all. So four athletes, four of the fastest people in the world, running the fastest 100 meters they can. Now you put the number one person normally last, because if someone has to make up ground, you want that person to be able to do it. And you try to get a good one first so you can start off well. Obviously, every leg is strong. But your job, the first runner has a distinct job. They start, they go as fast as they can, then they pass the baton. Now, the second runner, they cannot win the race. The first, second, and third cannot win the race. But they can lose the race, you see, because they have a responsibility to run their best lap, and then they hand it over. And then only God knows what that last runner is. And in that sense, it's going to be Jesus who brings things home, who comes again and brings things home. But your job is to run the best lap you can. Well, is Jesus coming in 3 minutes or 30 years or 300 years? That's not even the big concern. Run your lap. Run your race. And Paul says, run your race so as to win. Friends, we're on the radio 5 days a week, 2 hours a day to help you, to equip you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to build you up. And it's our prayer that you're better able to run your race through this broadcast. It's our prayer that you're better able to stand for truth and righteousness through this broadcast and through our articles and through the other resources we put out. And it is my privilege and joy to hear from so many who speak words of encouragement and thank us for being a voice of encouragement in their lives, in your lives. So thank you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. And thank you for standing and doing what you know how to do in your family, in your school, in your place of business, where the Lord puts you. Many of you are heroes and champions, and the Lord is pleased. And for those who've been on the sidelines, jump in. Jump in. We need you in the game today, because it's far more than a game. Let me encourage you to visit the website. If we've been a blessing to you, why not join our support team? Why not become a torchbearer, one of our monthly supporters? When you do, we'll send you a very important book that will help equip you as my gift to you. We'll send you a brand new message I preach every single month. We'll give you 15% discount on our online bookstore. We give you access to our online video and audio classes and a special insider prayer newsletter that I send out just to our monthly supporters, our torchbearers. Join our team today by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on Donate and then becoming a monthly supporter. Thank you in advance. That's at askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, get alone with the Lord and look to him. When you set your face on him, discouragement will be a thing of the past.